Chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. Look at the first 14 verses with me, if you will. Bible says, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, to give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, or Liah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the priest, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shillem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will not drink wine, or we'll drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and in all he hath charged us to drink no wine in our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, please listen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive the instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time, Lord, to gather around your word, as we always do. But Lord God, we take nothing for granted. And Lord God, each and every time is not only a blessing, but God, each and every time is an opportunity for us, Lord God, to open our hearts to you. And you, Heavenly Father, to speak to us through that. And Lord God, as we look to your word tonight, I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would have the freedom and liberty to span the aisles, Lord. Nestle up next to each and every individual, Lord God, sitting in these pews. Father, touch our hearts tonight. Speak to us, Lord. We're listening for the still small voice this evening. May you have the glory. May you be glorified in us, with us, and by us. And Lord God, may we be blessed, Father, as we speak yet tonight, yet more, Lord God, about the things that are decaying away and being lost, Lord God, in our society, and how, Lord, you are searching for the individuals, Lord God, to stand in the gap and to stand firm on faith, Lord God, and to cherish those precious things that are sliding away. Lord, we just ask for you to have your will and your way. We'll give you the honor, the glory, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to preface this by saying this. This morning, when we begin talking about honor, Mrs. May, of fathers and mothers, and just begin talking about respect to one another, and as I don't know if you could recognize, but I got a little stirred and got a little passionate about it, okay? Because sometimes, or many times, the Lord just gives you a little bit of an affirmation. Okay, and you'll understand once we launch into this why I was a little bit passionate this morning concerning that conversation. Amen. Friend, why is it so hard for our society of our day to honor the instructions of generations past. I mean, in a general sense, now please understand, I'm not speaking of any specific people. I simply mean that in an overall general sense, we disregard the wisdom of years of wisdom past. I remember when my grandfather was growing much older. My grandmother had passed, and my grandfather was in a 24-hour care facility. And you know, Brother Robert, I used to stop in and see him nearly every week, at least once a week. And I remember loving to sit down with him and just listen to my grandfather speak of the old days past. He'd share, obviously, the stories of him growing up and the things in which they did and learned. And he was just an old time. They had a small farm, and obviously he would farm the ground, and he'd share the stories of that. And I just would absorb all of those precious stories of my grandfather, the things he had learned, the wisdom he had gained. And thank God my grandfather, even when he departed from this earth, he had a very clear mind. And he was able to sit and he was able to just remember all of those precious memories and share them with me. And I always counted that dear. I always counted that special. It seems as though that we've not just become lost, if you will, to that understanding, but it's become a dying trait. I would argue among many of our younger generation, and much older even for that matter, it's already died. Friend, I believe that we will rue the day when we turned our backs on the invested time in learning the wisdom that the older and passing generation has gained. I remember very vividly our old friend Mr. Harry Sisco. Brother Harry Sisco was a godly man. And when he was alive, I would on a regular basis go out and just sit down with Brother Harry and would absolutely love to just hear Brother Harry speak about the old days. I mean, growing up in this town and during a much simpler time when people didn't have much, but what they did have, they had gotten honest. Brother Harry grew up in a time when family was important. Integrity meant something, and a good name meant everything. I remember Brother Harry many times, as many of you know, Brother Harry was a home builder. Brother Harry built some 87 houses in this community. Okay? And multitudes of them, as I would sit with Brother Harry and fellowship with him and just spend those days, especially when he was unable to get out in his latter days. And, you know, countless times Brother Harry would say to me, you know, I'd be speaking about a house. And, you know, there was characteristics that Brother Harry would always build in those houses. And I was in a couple of them. And there were multiple times when Brother Harry would say, you know, I built that house on a handshake. There were no contracts. There were no necessary agreements. Somebody would say, Brother Harry, would you build me a home? Brother Harry would reach out his hand and say, I'll build you a home. And when Brother Harry was finished building a home, he'd receive payment. Amen? And nobody had to question whether or not that would take place. Nobody had to question whether or not the home would be built with quality. Nobody had to question whether or not on either side, whether it'd be paid for or accounted for when it was done. Amen. There wasn't a great deal of legal struggles and battles and squabbling, if you will, in the courts because, you know, the lights weren't hung in a certain way or the bulb wasn't placed in a certain place. A time of integrity. A time of honesty. Where have those days gone, folks? We've literally become so busy. So encaptivated with our television, our computers, our laptops, our modern-day toys, our modern-day activity. And friend, listen to me. We are losing the wisdom of what has been labeled as the greatest generation each and every day. And I wonder if we even think about the treasure that is slipping away from our midst. My wife and I own many opportunities, and I wish we had more. But when we're able, we'll go out and we'll sit down with Mrs. Hopper. And, you know, she'll take us out to her porch and she'll get us, you know, that old Southern Belle hospitality, and she'll get us a glass of sweetened tea, you know, and we just sit there and just talk about, you know, you get Mrs. Hopper talking, if any of you have ever done so, and she loves to just share with her family, and she was a stern one. Amen. You know, she talks about the children, brother, her husband, brother, yeah, Brother Lloyd, thank you. He was kind of a pushover. He was a great man, just a good man, but he was kind of a pushover. Mrs. Hopper was the one who was always the disciplinary, if you will. And she talks about, you know, when the girls and their son would get a little out of hand, you know, she had to be the one to track them down and, you know, and just kind of deal with it. And it was always so comical. And I love sitting down with older people and hearing the precious stories. Okay. And you know, the stories are filled with, again, honesty, simplicity. It's not a bunch of chaos. Just simple, upright living and life. Friend, the wisdom and challenge of honesty and integrity that stems from a conversation with one of that era many times is fascinating. We'll soon celebrate Memorial Day. And I wonder if we truly take time, I wonder if the upcoming generations truly take time to realize the dedication and the fortitude it took to sacrifice in that day and age of conventional warfare, or the courage and the honor it took for a man of young age to fight on a battlefield back in the Civil War or the Revolutionary War. Listen, taking nothing away from those who have and are sacrificing for freedom in our modern day and age, even today as we are, may I remind you, a nation at war this evening. But I can't wrap my head around what is on my heart today, because wars were fought extremely different back then. And again, taking nothing away from the courage and the respect and the appreciation of our modern military. But, you know, it took a certain amount of valor to stand, you know, 50 yards away from incoming volley of lead that was going to wipe out probably 50% of an infantry or a platoon. Back in the days when men understood clearly what they were fighting for. And why they were doing it, and willing to do it. He said, it saddens me, it concerns me, not just the amount of landmarks and milestones our younger generation dismisses, but this woke and liberal crowd of today. I just can't wrap my head around it. It concerns me, and if it continues to pass on, what we will be left of this entire mentality and thought process of appreciation of the older generations for children like my grandchildren. We're losing it, America. It's slipping from our midst. The wisdom as well as respect for that wisdom and knowledge gained simply from those years of life spent in a much simpler and a much upright filled way of life. And as I read through the Word of God this week, I came across this passage of Scripture concerning the Rechabites yet one more time. And I know I've preached message after message and a number of them on the Rechabites, but throughout the years, each time I read about and I find myself intrigued with their commitment, their loyalty, their integrity, their honor. Amen. For their past generations. Friend, these people had a generational of Jewish ties, but they were not necessarily a traditional Jewish nation during this time. They were what the Bible would call strangers in the land. The Rechabites were a nomadic people known for their strict rules to abstain from wine, from building houses, from sowing seed, from planting vineyards, and as we see in our text this evening. The Rechabites were faithful to abide by these rules through the generations, all the way to the time of Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 10, to the time of Jeremiah, just preceding the Chaldean captivity, over 200 years span. And they held to the honesty and the integrity of some instructions of their forefathers from many, many years past. The Rechabites were descendants of Rechab. He was a Canaanite, or Canaanite, that related to the Midianites, and actually related to Moses' family by marriage, according to Judges chapter 1. According to Jeremiah chapter 35, the Rechabites' strict rules were put in place by a son or descendant of Rechab named Jehonadab, or as the Bible calls him, Jonadab. This same Jehonadab who helped Jehu rid Israel of Baal worship after the time of Ahab, if you remember correctly. Now, scholars have differing opinions as to why Jonadab implemented the rules, but many believe he sought to preserve the primitive lifestyle of his nomadic forebears. Hence the reason, with what God has laid upon my heart this evening, I've chosen them as an example. God used the faithfulness of the Rechabites to teach an important lesson to his people, the children of Israel. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one side of the rooms of the house of the Lord. And he said, give them wine to drink. The prophet gathered the Rechabites into the house of the Lord and set bowls of wine down in front of them, as you see in verses 3 through 5. The prophet gathered the Rechabites into the house of the Lord, and as he set those bowls of wine in front of them, the Rechabites firmly declined the wine and explained the commandment of their forefather. They said, Jeremiah, we can't partake of that. Friend, those people remained faithful to their family tradition no matter what the political wind of the day was. There's a noble thought. Amen. God then told Jeremiah to go tell the people of Judah, listen, he said, you go tell the people to learn the lesson well of the Rechabites. He said, you go tell them to learn of their loyalty. He said, you go tell them to make certain that they understand the integrity. He said, you go tell them to be reminded of the fact that they are honoring their forefathers and they are being obedient to instructions they were given many years preceding. As we see in our passage of Scripture this evening, God also told Jeremiah, he said, by the way, Jeremiah, he said, I've given you this illustration, paraphrasing, of course. He said, I've given you this illustration, Jeremiah, so that the people of Israel can understand that here the Rechabites are. They're not even of the children of Israel directly, yet they have obeyed the instructions of their forefathers. Yet I can't even get you people who are my chosen people to obey my word. Learn the lesson, Israel. A lesson of faithfulness and obedience to the teachings of Jonadab or Jehonadab, their father. God can contrast the obedience of the Rechabites to the disobedience of his own people. Again and again, God had sent his prophets to tell the Israelites to turn from their wicked ways, but the people would not heed to God's word. If you look in verse 16, you see the contrast play out. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their fathers, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. And as a result, the Israelites' historical disobedience, God promised to bring disaster upon them as a nation. But God commanded the family of the Rechabites, and he gave them a promise, Mrs. Jewell. He said, the family of the Rechabites, Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, will never fail to have a descendant to serve me. His promise to him, brother, was the fact that they would never be removed from the scene of life. You see it in verse 19. The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Why? Because of loyalty. Because of obedience. Because of uprightness. Because of a generational respect. Amen. Now, friend, there's much to learn from this family. I mean, the Rechabites stood firm against assimilating into a culture of the time. We were speaking just this afternoon of this modernization church movement. Whether we like to see it or not, and whether we're pleased to acknowledge it or not, listen, there's many, 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 many churches that are assimilating into the culture of the day. See, running a big crowd is everything. But having the Spirit of God has been lost. And see, one thing is superseded in importance, and the lesser of them is that which has become important. Amen. I've shared with you multiple times, church, there's nothing that fears me more and unsettles me more. Many use the phrase, you know, what keeps you awake at night, preacher? Losing the Spirit of God in our church. There's nothing. I said there is nothing of greater significance. If we lose the Spirit of God, we might as well all go home. Amen. They were commanded by God for their faithfulness and their obedience to their father. The Rechabites are an example of steadfastness. God desires his people to live in obedience and steadfastness to him. That was the very lesson he was teaching. And this evening, I'd like to take the very lesson that we speak of. And for the next few moments, I'd like to speak on a message I've titled, Representation of the Righteousness of the Rechabites. I said, a representation of the righteousness of the Rechabites. A few things I'd like to challenge all of us concerning the loss of the wisdom of past generations. The first of which, a good launching point, would be the respect of our elderly. Ironically, well, nothing is by happenstance. We spoke of it this morning in Sunday school. And brother, all this was obviously ringing through my head, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for the affirmation. No, I'm hitting the mark today, Lord. Friend, the Rechabites followed these rules that had been put in place by Jehonadab because they carried a great deal of respect for him. Remember, this is the same Jehonadab who helped, again, Jehu rid Israel of Baal worship after the time of Ahab back in 1 Kings. Jehonadab was a God-fearing man, and his actions were such that proved it. Neighbor, where has the parental teachings of respect of our elderly gone? Again, I'm not speaking necessarily to our children personally. However, this may be a reminder to not let up on the teachings of the principles in general. However, we all see a lack of respect that is accumulated against the elderly in our society. I mean, it seems as though the younger generation would rather mock the elderly than help them cross the street or carry some groceries for them. God help us, for we know not what we do. And I know I kind of got ahead of myself this morning, but I'm going to speak of it again because not everybody heard my rant and rage this morning. But listen, it's something that absolutely drives me crazy. I mean, I grew up calling anyone who was older than me, and most times even those who are not, sir and ma'am. That's a statement, if you will, or an identification of respect. Amen? I shared in the Sunday school this morning, listen, if we didn't do that, a lot of times we would get a backhand. Okay? And it drives me nuts when I call someone sir or ma'am out of simple respect of addressment, and that individual looks at me and says something like, don't call me sir or ma'am, I work for a living. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you weren't so foolish, you'd understand that's why I'm respecting you and calling you sir or ma'am. Amen. And as I kind of got on a tangent this morning, teaching my children while they were growing up, you will never address an adult by their first name. Many of you even see that in my daughter today. She still to this day won't call you by your first name, and she's an adult herself. Amen. And then you have Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so after they're addressed, turn to your child and say, well, don't call me Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. You know, that was my mother's name or my father's name. And again, as I shared this morning, what absolutely drives me crazy, and I just want to rise up, if you will, and control my flesh, because it's like, don't tear down what I've spent a lifetime building up in respect to my children. Amen. instilling in my children to respect adults simply because someone has a complex about being addressed in a respectful terminology. What is wrong with us? It encourages me every time I see a young person stop what they're doing and take time to shake the hand of one of our elderly before they keep running around, if you will. I love it. I will always remember, okay? Wasn't too many years ago when Mrs. Hopper was able to come with us and come and see us on a regular basis. And I remember when the Curvins were here. And Miss Cashmere, you and Sydney, every single Sunday morning when Mrs. Hopper would be sitting in her pew waiting for service, I'd watch Sydney and I'd watch Cashmere go over and sit down next to Mrs. Hopper. And the kids are kind of running around and, you know, just being children, amen. And there would sit Miss Cashmere and Miss Sydney, just talking with Mrs. Hopper. And I thought to myself, good Lord, what a tremendous visual of respect and appreciation of the past generation. And it concerns me how unnoticed it goes. Amen. We need to encourage our children that take time to do such things. When you see one of our young people stop what they're doing, walk up to an elderly person and shake their hand and say, it's good to see you today. You know what? Take time to walk beside that young person sometime at some point in time throughout the day and say, you know what? I saw that. I want to thank you for that. Don't lose that. Amen? Mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, teach your children. Amen? Teach them what? To respect our elderly. Because I promise you, the consequences of that is being lost. We have already seen. But we have not yet seen. The worst is yet to come with it. So not only do I see a biblical teaching in this passage concerning respect of our elderly, but think about this, representation of ethics. I said a representation of ethics. Look at verses 4 through 10. You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Don't you dare fall asleep on me. I'll call you out, amen. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and I brought them into the house of the Lord in the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Agdaliah, the man of God. Some Jewish names, wow. Which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper at the door, or of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye, your sons, forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor fields, nor seam, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. Brethren, what in the name of God is happening to our ethics? Do we even understand what that ethics are anymore? Mr. Webster defines ethics as the doctrines of morality or social manners, the science of moral philosophy, which teaches men their duty and the reasons of it. May God help us concerning our ignorance concerning this subject. Ethics. Ethics is mankind doing that which is right out of respect for their fellow man simply because it is the right and respectful thing to do. Why do we need another reason? Why isn't that reason good enough? Once again, a subject action that absolutely drives me nuts. So many people in so many areas don't even understand what is ethical, let alone how to take a stand on implementing it. I see a tremendous amount of lack of ethics even in the pastoral field. And honestly, it confuses me. Brother Caleb, I remember when you were coming out of Bible college, we had this very same conversation. I mean, it breaks my heart. I must be honest, at times it even makes me angry. What's that? The men of God don't even have much ethics anymore. Let me give you some examples that I run into in the field of ethics concerning pastorate. It is not ethical to counsel with, proselyte, instruct on everyday church activities and actions to another pastor's parishioners without that pastor's blessing. Amen. Why does it happen all the time then? I mean, that may hair lip a few of you. But friend, listen to me. I don't take kindly to someone counseling my people before they have ever even talked to me about talking to them. Amen. I am accountable for you. God will ask me about you. And who you are asking about your life issues is important to me, and it ought to also come across my appreciation or authorization. Amen. It's unethical, friend. If an individual from another church, many of you who have been with me for years know this, an individual who is from a good, solid, Bible-believing church walks through our doors on a Sunday morning. Now listen, if they're just passing through, if they're just visiting, hallelujah, praise God. We love on them and love that they're here. And we're going to love on them and love that they're here either way. But listen, if they come walking through our door, I can promise you before the week is ended, probably before maybe Sunday has even ended, I'm going to get them on a phone and I'm going to call pastor and say, hey, brother, just want to let you know some of your people showed up at my church this morning. I just want to let you know I'm not here to ask what's going on. I don't know if anything's going on. Maybe everything's fine. It's not a problem. I just want to let you know so you can head something off if there's something there that needs to be headed off before it turns into something worse. Amen. I've called pastors in our area when this has happened at times. And I get a response like, what are you calling me for? What am I calling you for? Some of your people showed up at my church. You should know that. Because I'm not going to speak with them and I'm not going to deal with them unless I have your blessing. They're your people. Well, no, it's just fine. Okay. I don't understand it. Friend, I don't understand it. I mean, it is possible to pray for someone, to love somebody and not pray for them. But friend, I do not believe whatsoever that it is possible to pray for someone and not learn to love them. And that ought to be a concern. And I would appreciate, you know, if something takes place and, you know, maybe one of you get out of sorts a little bit. And you say, you know what, I think we ought to, you know, go visit so-and-so or go visit this church or that church. I would appreciate from that pastor a call saying, hey, Brother Robert showed up at my church this morning. Just thought you should know. Not asking questions, not buttoning, not looking for gossip. Just let me know that Brother Robert may have a problem or an issue. And you know, it ought to be my privilege and responsibility to seek out Brother Robert before that turns into something more. Amen? That's called ethics, friend. Ethics. It's just the right thing to do because it means the right thing. And friend, listen, I get passionate about it. We're not only losing them, we are losing even what they are and what they mean. Ethics. Hey, watch this. If Jeremiah would have forced the Rechabites or chided them for not drinking the wine placed before them as they've been invited, if you will, honorably into the house of the God, house of the Lord by God's invitation, if he'd have chided them, he'd have been wrong. Why? Because it's unethical. Jeremiah rightfully said, Lord, there's something here that I need to be made aware of. You told me to do this, yet they've declined. There's a reason for that. God said, yep. Good observation. There's a reason for that. He said, now you go tell the children of Israel what you saw here today. And you make sure they learn a little lesson well. Amen? Respect of our elderly, a representation of ethics. Please allow me to give you this, and I'll cut you loose this evening, a righteous teaching entrenched. I said a righteous teaching entrenched. Friend, look one last time at our text with me while I close. Verse 6, one more time. Bible said, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build a house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed, just like Jonadab told us not to. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. Jump down to verse 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Look at verses 16 through 19. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Church, listen, please. These Rechabites were heeding a teaching that had been entrenched in them for 200 plus years. They hadn't forgotten, they hadn't swayed, and they did not become disobedient in over two centuries of time. Now, I would very confidently say not one of these men that sat in that room in that temple that day were over 200 years of age. Would you agree? So where did they get the teaching from? Not one of them were there when Jonadab gave the command. Not one of them were 200 years old. So where'd they get the teaching from? And watch this. They got it as it was handed down from one generation to the next. Over 200 plus years. What has happened to us, America? What are we passing down to our children? What are we generationally feeding our children? Where do you think the majority of your children's teachings and character is going to come from? Teachings handed down from one generation to the next. That's where it comes from. And friend, if you do not teach them, trust me, somebody else will. And many times that someone else, you will not want to be the one teaching them. But they'll do it anyway. Amen. Righteousness does not just happen. I said righteousness does not just happen. It must be taught. It must be instructed. It must be illustrated. It must be displayed. It must be entrenched. And when we are unwilling to do so, we will watch our children fall by the wayside to the ways of the world, and we'll all stand around with our moping ideas and thoughts saying, I just don't know what happened. I just don't know why they don't come anymore. I just don't know what happened. I just don't know what took place. It will not just happen. It must be taught. It must be instructed. Hey, it must be displayed. Many of you remember a number of years ago, I preached a message, they will be what they see. And friend, listen to me. I know that many in the room this evening specifically were beyond years of teaching our children, but we have grandchildren. Amen. Yeah, I'll take a moment and give my wife a little accolades here. She spends a great deal of time with our grandchildren. You know, they spend probably as much time at our house as they do their own, maybe more. But there's not a day that passes where that lady don't sit down with our grandchildren and have a devotion and share with them things of God for a certain time before we go play and before we go watch the cartoons on the television and before we break out all the toys. And amen. If we're not going to teach them, who will? I'll tell you who will. The world will. Amen. Friend, listen, I promise you, the likelihood of our children just turning out for Jesus while we live hypocritical lives displayed before them has little to any chance of working. I mean, I see this hypocrisy and foolishness engaged so often, and I think to myself, good Lord, if they only could see the results of their children 10, 15 years from now, they'd be doing so many things differently. A righteous teaching entrenched. And please hear me and hear me well. If you want your children or your grandchildren to turn out in this day and age of wickedness and worldliness abounding, we had all better get a hold of this truth. They don't stand much of a chance. You see what's out there? And listen, they don't even have to go looking for it. It'll find them. Our children, our grandchildren are fighting an uphill battle unless they are taught by illustration, church, Bible reading, and teaching, and entrenchment of righteousness. They're not going to make it. Welcome to the modern world. They're worth fighting for. To see the example of these Rechabites was not only an illustration for God and the children of Israel, but an example and a lesson for we ourselves in which we can, should, and also follow. Amen. Loyalty, a dedication, a trust, a leaning upon and learning of the finer, simpler things in life when life was finer and simpler. Amen. Hey, y'all are going to love me for this. Why don't you get off of Facebook once in a while and go see an elderly? Amen. Why don't you spend a quarter of the time visiting with somebody older than you do talking on a social network? Amen. Come on, y'all are looking at me like, did he just say that? You bet your life I did. Amen. Friend, God teaches these lessons for a reason. He put them in the book for a reason. And if we're just going to read them like a novel on paper, then what good does it do us? Miss Judy, it does us no good until we apply it. They're not complex lessons. They're just hard lessons. The respect of our elderly, a representation of ethics and a righteous teaching entrenched. Let's stand this evening. representation of a righteousness of the Rechabites. Mrs. Bowers makes her way to the piano this evening. Church, I'm not yelling at you this evening. I'm not angry. I get passionate about the subject. Why? Because it's a subject that I'm watching our society dissolve around us. And it all boils down to simplistic lessons and teachings and instructions. And the things that we hold on to were the things that we let go of. It's our choice. Listen, we're here to reach the world, but friend, I don't care what the world's doing. What are we doing as God's children? Amen? As the piano begins to play softly this evening, as the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you, you know where to find the altar. Amen? Sometimes we just need to hit a reset. Sometimes we just need to allow God to speak to us. Challenge us. Sometimes we just need to take time to remember. Integrity, honesty, a time in life when ethics and uprightness was a way of life, regular way of life. Unfortunately, our world is not that today. But friend, if we're going to make it as God's children, if we're going to have any kind of an impact and influence on this world, we must keep these things that are being allowed to slip away. These Rechabites weren't even Israelites, right? But they were there to teach God's people a lesson. It's a shame when somebody who, the illustration being, are not necessarily God's direct people, have to teach God's direct people a lesson they should have already known. Amen. I pray to God that we don't find times in which we have to have the world teach us lessons of honesty and integrity because we as God's people don't hold them. Righteousness will not just happen, friend. You have to work at it. And what will become is only based on how much you're willing to work at it. I know there's few in number this evening. Part family with some very honored guests with us. So I'm just going to be very, very upfront, frank tonight. Are you going to heaven? Do you know it for a Bible reason? If you're standing here and you don't know that, you're in a good place to be in a bad place tonight. Now. Friend, we don't know how much time we have left. Hey, the Persians are rising up. The king to the north is getting all restless. 2 million troops to the east are a little fluttery this evening. Be careful. Time left to share this to the lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time tonight. Lord God, as we just take time to reiterate some of the teachings that we find webbed throughout your word, Lord God, may they be for us, Lord, entrenched teachings embedded within us, Lord God, that we hold firm to, that we're willing to stand upon the solid rock, Lord God, and live so that we can display and teach the next generation, Lord God, that which is willing to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.